The reading of God's Word today is taken from Proverbs 3, verses 19 to 16, then chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs 3, verse 19 to 26, then 9 to verses 10. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom and established the heaven by understanding. By his knowledge, the watery depths broke open, and the clouds drip with dew. Maintain sound wisdom and discretion. My son, don't lose sight of them. They will be life for you and adornment for your neck. Then you will go safely on your way. Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. You will lie down and your sleep will be pleasant. Don't fear sudden danger or ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from a snare. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back. I really appreciate the invitations and the gospel partnership with ICC. And it's always my joy to share God's word with you. Now, let me get this working. Who among you recognize this man? Anyone? Okay, you may raise your hand. I believe everyone has taken a shower this morning, right? Not many. That's okay, as long as you know Jesus. This is Jordan B. Peterson. He's a clinical psychologist and a professor at the University of Toronto. He's also the author of a wildly popular book called 12 Rules for Life. It has been translated into many languages and sells millions of copies, of course. In fact, during COVID, while many of us are waiting for job keepers, he wrote its sequels, Beyond Order, 12 More Rules for Life. And it became another huge success. He also does speaking tours. Can you guess his biggest audience? Who is his biggest audience? Mothers? No. Grandmas? No. Take a look at this photo carefully. Whose face do you see the most? Young men. Yes, young men, men between 20 to 35 years old. Are you surprised? I was. Now think about it, right? We're living in a world that preaches limitless freedom. But millions of young men, whom we think only care about 3G, sadly not gospel growth group, but gathering, gyms, and games, are paying $100 just to listen to an old man give them rules for life. Strange, isn't it? I couldn't make sense of it. But then my conversation partner, not my wife, but ChatGPT, helped me making sense. Hear what it says. Peterson offers practical advice on how to improve oneself, set goals, and navigate life challenges. Many young men find his guidance helpful in areas such as career, relationship, and mental health. You see, Peterson gives this young man wisdom for navigating life well. Their lives are falling apart. Limitless freedom has left them empty, and they need directions. And here's the truth. All of us, not just these young men, need wisdom to live well. All of us need wisdom to live well. Now, here's the questions, right? Where do we find wisdom to navigate our life? Where do we find wisdom to navigate our lives?
Let's take a moment to reflect, right? Where do you usually look for direction in managing your family, managing your relationship, managing your time, managing your finances? Where do you usually search for wisdom in dealing with your troubling emotions, rebellious kids, annoying manager, or lazy groupmates? In the past, we usually turn to people around us, parents, family, close friends, right? Or people with authority in general. We think about teachers, pastors, or mentors. And of course, the expert, yeah, specialist in their field. Back then, I remember before the internet, we learned from books. So if you want your money to work for you, you'd learn from Robert Kiyosaki, Buy Rich Dad and Poor Dad. Or if you have the latter, you hang out all day in Borders reading it for free. And even now, we still learn from these experts, these gurus. We learn about finance from Warren Buffett, leadership from Ray Dalio, creativity from Austin Kleon. We look to Oprah to feel empowered, and Marie Kondo to get organized and tidy up our homes. Right? But where else do we get life lessons today? From social media persona, or all we know it, influencers. Now, some of them are real experts in their fields and use social media to share their knowledge. But not always. Many are just famous, not necessarily wise or skilled. But they're attractive, charismatic, confident, or funny. And they love to post quotes, memes, reels, and stories. And we learn about fashions, fitness, beauty, travel, personal growth, and even parenting from them. Friends, we usually learn wisdom from these experts and influencers. But now, right, we need to think about this. Are they really wise enough to be the example we follow in life? Can they truly be the source of wisdom for us? Now, do you know this beautiful lady? Marie Kondo. She's a tidying up expert. She helps people organize their homes and transform their lives. Here's Marie Kondo 101, right? Throw away everything that doesn't spark joy and organize everything else neatly by categories. Then your life will be happier and more fulfilling. And many people, and probably you, followed her wisdom. But then I read this. Marie Kondo admits she has kind of given up on extreme tidiness now that she has 3 kids. She went on to say, "My home is messy. Up until now, I was a professional tidier, so I did my best to keep my home tidy at all times. Now, I realize what's important for me is enjoying spending time with my children at home." Do you hear that? Her perspective has changed. Because her stage of life, because her circumstances has changed. And this shows us something important. Just like us, these gurus and influencers are still trying to figure out how life works. And what they share, their wisdom, is still tentative. Temporary conclusions that can change depending on their situations and stage of life. Their wisdom is not definitive. The final truth that always hold up in every situation. They're just human, like you and me. limited in many ways and capable of making mistakes, especially when they're going through major life changes. Alicia Childers, a Christian apologist, once wrote something that really struck me. This is what she said. Today, we have authors, influencers, and life coach gurus peddling their personal transformation stories as models for others to follow. Their advice is frequently based on a very recent life-altering decision that seems to make them happy in the moment, but have not stood the test of time. In some cases, their books come out within a few months of a major life change, divorce, paradigm shift in identity, or spiritual deconstructions, which they think help them discover their true self. Readers, listen. Please don't take advice from someone who is in the middle of a major crisis. I think she's spot on. Would you agree with me? We need to be careful when we take guidance from other people, especially when they're going through or just coming out of a personal crisis. It's not that they're evil or trying to mislead or manipulate us. No, it's because they're still trying to find their own way. And it is not wise to make them our ultimate source of wisdom. And now this brings us to an important question. If human wisdom is limited and often changes, then where can we find wisdom that is sure, unchanging, and always true? The wisdom we can build our lives upon. Let me offer a suggestion for you to consider. What if we look for wisdom, guidance, and instruction from God Himself? I know this is an elephant in the room, all right? This sounds obvious, but at the same time, as Christians, many of us don't really live like we believed it. We trust, we learn wisdom from those expert and social media persona rather than God, right? But think about it. God is the creator of heaven and earth, the one who made everything that exists. He surely knows how life is meant to work. And who else could possibly be a better source of wisdom than the creator of this world Himself? And this is the point of Proverbs 3, 19 to 26 that we read earlier. Let me read again verse 19 and 20. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom and established the heavens by understanding. By His knowledge, the watery depths broke open and the clouds dripped with dews. Friends, God created this world with wisdom. He didn't make this universe carelessly or by random chances. He made it with order, structure, purpose, and careful planning. Just like an architect draws up blueprints before a single brick is even laid, God designed this world according to His divine plan. Therefore, there is an order in God's word. There is an order in God's word. Structure woven into the very fabric of this universe. Or you could say that there is a rule of the game in God's world, and it is God who sets the rules. Listen, friends, God doesn't just know how life works, He's the one who decides how life should work. That's why, if anyone lives according to God's order, in line with His wisdom, will experience flourishing life. When we seek wisdom from God, He shows us how to live in rhythm with the way He builds this world to work. In a sense, you will start moving with the grain of creations instead of against it. And when you do that, you will flourish. Therefore, verse 21 to 26 says this: maintain sound wisdom and discretion. My son, don't lose sight of them. So this verse tells us to hold fast to God's wisdom, to pay attention, constant attention to His ways. Don't neglect, don't overlook even a single details of His teaching. And here's the result. They, referring to wisdom and understanding, will be life for you, an adornment for your neck. Then you will go safely on your way. Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. You will lie down and your sleep will be pleasant. Don't fear sudden change, sudden danger or ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from a snare. Life, safety, fearless, restful sleep. These are the blessings that flow from fixing our eyes on God's wisdom. God's wisdom leads to flourishing life and protect us from danger. Or, let me say in another way, God brings us to a flourishing life. God keeps us from danger through His wisdom. And when we walk in His wisdom, we walk under His care and protections. Let's take a classic example, right? When someone hurt us, God's wisdom told us to forgive, not to take revenge, right? When someone hurt us, God's wisdom tells us to forgive, not to take revenge. This is not just a random moral rules. It is the part, the very order God built into creation. Therefore, Proverbs says, don't say, I'll do to him what he did to me. I'll repay the man for what he has done. Instead, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. So, forgiveness and kindness, not revenge, that's how life really works. Revenge might be satisfying for a moment, but in the end, it will deepen our pain, and it will poison our hearts and destroy our peace, right? You have all experienced this. However, if we choose to forgive, life will begin to flourish again. Forgiveness frees us. It's not just the right thing to do. It is something good for us. It's good for our well-being. Because if we forgive, we're living in harmony with God's wisdom. We are moving with the grain of creation, not against it. Therefore, God must be the ultimate wisdom of our life. God must be the ultimate source of our wisdom. And we need to listen to Him if we want to live well. Now, does that mean that we should only read the Bible and nothing else? No, not really. In God's kindness, even people who don't follow Jesus can still figure out some of the ways life works. That's what we call common grace. Everyone, believer, unbeliever, can discover truth about how our minds work, how to lead well, how relationship functions, and even how technology can serve people. These insights are glimpses of God's work, God's wisdom, even if people sharing them don't give him the credit. So yes, we can learn from experts, influencers, and life coaches, even if they don't believe in Jesus. However, and this is the key, our main source must still be the Bible. The scripture is God's revelation, God's special revelation to his people. And through its pages, God speaks his unshakable truth. If we really want to grow in wisdom, our primary intake, what we feed our hearts and minds with, has to begin with the Bible. The Bible, God's wisdom, must shape us more than anything else. And it must be the solid foundations of our lives. And as we engage with other sources like books, podcasts, TED Talks, Instagram quotes, or even movies, we should do so with discernment. We need to filter everything through the truth of the scriptures. The Bible must be the grid through which all other sources are tested, because only the Bible is infallible, and everything else, no matter how inspiring, can still go wrong. Now, how does this look in practice? Brett McCracken, a senior editor at the Gospel Coalition, give us a really helpful idea of the wisdom pyramid. Okay, so if you see the screen, that's his idea of the wisdom pyramid. At the bottom, the foundation level is the Bible. That's where the real wisdom begins. God's word is our solid foundations, our daily bread, and everything else should build on that. Then comes the church and its tradition. The local church, like ICC here, connects us with many wise people. We can talk, we can discuss, we can bounce off ideas face to face, right? We can learn wisdom from many wise people here. And church tradition is also important because it is time-tested sources of truth. Now, next, nature and beauty. God speaks to us through nature. So if you are familiar with Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the works of his hands. And I think everyone agrees that there are truths about God that no words can fully express. But a sunset or a mountain range can whisper to our soul, can capture our imagination and our heart. Then we have books, and now it takes discipline. In our fast-paced world, our attention span are shrinking. We don't like books. We want quick summaries or even a short clips. But there's something powerful about slowing down, chewing on a good, time-tested book. That's a sure path to wisdom. And above that, right, there are online resources, things like website, articles, or even tools like Google, Wikipedia, and ChatGPT, and other AIs. This can be useful, especially content recommended by wise people, but they're not the focus, they're not the main course, so to speak. And finally, at the very top of the pyramid, we have social media, your Instagram, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, and so on and so forth. And as you can see here, right, as the pyramid moves from the bottom to the top, they move from where God's truth comes to us most directly, and to the top, where it is least directly mediated by him. So if you look at it, right, at the bottom, we have the most reliable, infallible truth of the scriptures. And further up the pyramid we go, the less clear, the less accurate, the less reliable those sources become. And by the time we reach the top, the social media level, what we see is often driven by algorithm rather than by truth. And wisdom is still possible there, but it takes a lot more discernment to find it. That's why, friends, the bottom layers of the pyramids should be our main focus in shaping how we think and live. We should spend most of our time and energy there. So the higher layers aren't useless, but they should never become the foundations. The right foundations doesn't make what stands above it irrelevant, but it makes everything above it structurally sound. So when we know God's truth well, then we're able to differentiate whether some insight or some post or some shorts from the higher layers are true or false, wisdom or foolishness. And of course, our problem today is that we flip the pyramid, right? We make the top layers, the social media, the foundation of our life. And we like the top layers because they are more resonate with our intent, intuition, and even our sinful desires, right? So think about a posting about cutting off friends who wrong you. It is more instinctive, right? And we immediately agree with that because it resonates more with our intuitions and sinful desires. Well, if we read the Bible will challenge us and ask us to forgive. It's very counterintuitive. That's why we like the social media. But if we want to be wise, we must start with God. We must fear God. Proverbs 9, verse 10, that we read. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So if we want to live well, we must have a heart that fears God. So, our brothers and sisters, often when we hear the word fear, we think of something negative, right? We fear of wild animals, we fear of danger, we fear of someone who might harm us. But that's not what the Bible means. Fearing God doesn't mean being terrified of Him. Rather, it is standing in awe of God with reverence, with deep respect. It's about honoring Him as God, the creator of this universe. It's about treating Him as He deserves. He deserves glory. And that means we trust Him completely. We humbly admit our limits, our weaknesses, our ignorance. We stop leaning on our own understanding. We repent of the ways we trusted experts, life coaches, influencers more than God Himself. And we choose day to day, day by day, to trust Him above all else. And friends, the good news is that He is so trustworthy. He's not just the creator of this world, but also the redeemer of sinners. Everyone, all of us, are foolish. Like sheep, we have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. We have rebelled against God's good design for us, God's good design for the world, but God pursues us. And He pursues us to the cross. At the cross, Jesus took our foolishness upon himself. And he died in our place so that we might truly live. Not just live, but truly live. And when we see what God has done for us, when we see his love pour out on that cross, our heart begins to appreciate him. Our hearts begin to fear him rightly. Not with terror, but with awe. Not with dread, but with devotion. And when our hearts truly fear him, we will begin to listen to him. We don't like to listen to someone that we don't respect, right? We won't listen to them. But that's why fear of the Lord is important. When we fear God, when we love God, when we stand in awe of God, then we will begin to listen to his voice. Even when what he says feels counterintuitive. We start to trust that his way is better than the world's and even our own. And as we do, we begin to live in step with his wisdom, in harmony with the way God designed life to be. Friends, do you want to live well? Do you want to be able to navigate the complexity of this life well? Listen to God above all else. Listen to God above all else. Fear him. Trust his wisdom more than anything in this world. And build your life upon his words. For God lead us to a flourishing life through his wisdom. Let's pray.